And he said, you know, you should come back. He's like, that's where it's going to be. He's like, I think you're better at that than graphic design. And sometimes hearing the truth hurts, but it worked out for the best.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
I'm Melissa. I am the design and content manager and head of marketing operations team lead. UpGuard to me is just also not just a happy place to be, but it's just something I think every company needs. And I don't even work in sales, and I'm just saying that. So.
And you were the second female that was hired here, right?
It was pretty cool because in my interview, they're like, are you cool with, you know, it's like all men here. We have one woman, but, you know, we're trying to hire more. I was like, no, that's fine. Like, I actually kind of don't care either way. I prefer it. And everybody here is like a big brother. They're just really nice and welcoming, and none of them treat you differently because you are a woman, which is nice.
And now they're really, what I've noticed is they're really passionate about moving women in tech forward within the UpGuard family. Like, they want to hire more women in tech and find where those amazing women in tech are interested in working with the team.
Yeah, we've hired, probably since like the spring, we've hired a lot of women already, not even just like in traditional, you know, roles, but as far as engineers, we have more engineers, we have product managers, designers, digital media people, trade show people, like every, it's like in all parts of the company.
And when did you become interested in tech?
I think I've always been interested in it. I guess I'm lucky in the sense that I grew up when I grew up. What is that joke that I'm old enough to have played outside as a kid, but also old enough that I got like computers introduced to me at like a good age, not too young, not too late. But I really got into tech probably high school, college.
And who exposed you to it?
Tech itself was probably, like, it's actually a funny story. So growing up, my grandma had this, like, computer, and that was, like, the cool thing because I got to play on her computer, and I would just play around. And that's what got me into it is just learning what all the stuff did, and no one else was interested in it.
Did you say your grandma had a computer?
Oh, she is super techie. She was the first
person. Like, your grandma had a computer.
She still does. She has a Chromebook now. She is in the know. She had a Dell.
How did your grandma learn about technology?
She is a social worker, and she was always like in a tech, not a tech based job, but she worked on her computers, and where she worked as a social worker was very like forward thinking,
right?
And everything was automated. I remember going to her work, and she would put me like in a cubicle and be like, "Go play on the computer." And my mom is really into computers, so I'm an only child. It was something for me to do, probably.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And what would you say your calling is?
I really like finding things like that no one else really has the time or energy for, and just like kind of discovering what I can work on. Like kind of just taking it apart piece by piece, like how you play with Legos and just slowly build stuff. I like doing that and just getting lost in it and teaching myself stuff.
And your background is essentially like web design, but you morph that into front-end engineering meets UI graphic. I mean, how do you describe it?
Well, my background is actually like print graphic design.
Graphic design.
Yeah, graphic design is what I went to school for. And then it morphed into web because that's just where it was going when I was in college. In fact, I think the second iPhone, maybe the first iPhone was out when I was in college, which ages me sort of. But and everyone thought it was going to go towards like mobile apps. But to me, till to this day, mobile apps don't really interest me. It was like front end web design that did. So the fact that you can change things so fast, like print is great. And I love print for different things. But it's such a process if there's like a change that you have to go through to get it to do it. But web is so instant. It's a click of a button, which I love.
So front-end design or front-end coding or whatever. Typically, that's considered coding. Mm-hmm. But you said you don't consider yourself an engineer.
No, I don't.
So what does an engineer mean to you? And what's front-end versus back-end? And walk me through that process.
To me, an engineer, which I have so much respect for them, especially the ones I work with, because they're doing a lot of the back-end stuff. The stuff that you don't see, the stuff that usually never gets credit, they just keep the lights on. You know, the database work, they're going through, something crashed. Or there's a bug, but sometimes it's not seen because either A, it's only visible by the person using the product, someone else, you know, that's also engineer, but front-end stuff, everyone sees it. Whether or not they're a customer, front-end stuff is more fun and a little more creative. You have a little more liberal freedom with it.
What's front-end really mean to someone that knows nothing about coding?
Front-end is basically, in like the most basic terms, a website. It's basically what makes it, it's the HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and any like fun jQuery stuff you may see on a site.
Okay, but for someone who knows nothing about tech...
It's the creative stuff.
It's what a website looks like.
It's what a website looks like.
Yeah. And it's how you interact with it.
It's how you interact with it, and it's how it's presented to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
How a website, it's like going to a storefront. Like, you have the interaction, you have the experience. You're basically giving them the story.
Right.
You're bringing them to the website, and you're saying, okay, this is what I want you to see, whereas the back end is more keeping it.
Right, the operations.
The operations, yeah. Which is also needed, but less creative.
And how did you go about developing your calling, becoming, you know, a front end? How do you say it then? What? Tell me your job title again. How do you say it? Because I keep wanting to say front-end engineer.
Yeah. Well, it's changing. It's changing. It's actually changing this week again because that's just how much we're growing. But my responsibilities are staying the same. I guess, yeah, I would say just do front-end. What did someone said it today? I do like front-end design and engineering, front-end developing, because our site is so, I mean, with any site, any company today, their site has to be what brings in leads and customers.
Right.
So it needs to look good and also work and get people the right experience. So that's what I do.
And how did you go about developing that skill set?
Well, I had mentioned it to you that I taught myself how to code early on with like the MySpace era, because if you wanted to have a cool profile, you had to learn how to do like the coding hacks, you know, how to add, simple stuff like how to add a video to your page, how to bold a font or whatever. And then when I was in college, I had a teacher who was really into web design, and he's from the Bay Area, and he said, you know, you should come back. He's like, that's where it's going to be. He's like, I think you're better at that than graphic design. And sometimes hearing the truth hurts, but it worked out for the best.
Who have been some of your mentors in getting where you are today?
And I would say this, even if I didn't work here, it would probably be one of my bosses. Mike, he's the one that flat out told me, like, he's very blunt and candid. He told me, you know, what I'm good at and what I'm not good at, and that actually made me stronger. And he's the one that kind of said, just keep tinkering. And he really encourages literally just playing with stuff, breaking it, and seeing why it does and doesn't work. So he's a big proponent of that.
That's awesome. And when you do encounter a challenge, how do you overcome challenges?
Oh, I just had one this morning. I will research as much as I can. Google's still a good friend. And then I'll ask someone here.
Are you able to share what kind of challenge you had this morning?
Yeah. So we have our website was actually, there's another website that grades sites based on their, you know, it's called a website grader, a marketing grader. And it was telling me that we had a lot of page requests, a lot of HTTPS requests, and I couldn't see them. I did the area I can control, and it was still showing me that I had a ton of requests. Like, it was like 60 something. And I was like cleaning it up, and I was like, okay, I got four down. So then I asked one of the engineers, and he's like, well, let's pull it up. And I had pulled it up in the console, and he's like, wow. He's like, that's actually just like what we use to host. That was them ingesting it. So it's kind of weighed off my back because it's not something I can control. But now we know where they're coming from.
And you used different terms. You used the term console. Used a bunch of different terms. Page. Like, what do these terms mean?
So the console is basically just your way of seeing how the page is running. It's the coding view. It's a live view. You can edit it. I use the console a lot, especially with front end, because
it's kind of like Microsoft Word reading your text.
Kind of, sort of. It's basically your way of editing the page as it's happening. So instead of coding in the back, pushing it live, and hoping for the best, you can literally you can do it in Firefox or Chrome, and you can do it right then and there. So say if your boss tells you, oh, I really like that, you know, hero image, or I like that font that you have right there, but what if it was green instead of purple or whatever? Instead of going back, typing it in the CSS, pushing it live, you could just do it in the console, change the hex code to the other color they want, and it's there. And there's no, you know, it's not doing the work twice. You could see it. You could just kind of, it's more for testing and seeing what broke or didn't break in this
and
case.
And you were saying that you were saying when you first started here at UpGuard that, like, they let you break their site. Did they let you break their site?
I don't know if
or you just decided to break their site?
I was just kind of left to my own devices, and they said kind of learn the site and what it's ran on. And I broke our pricing page the first day. It was a Friday. We all went out for a happy hour. And someone else had brought it up. They were on their phone, and they realized it was broken. And a few people had to run back across the street to fix it. It was an honest mistake.
It was about you wanted to take chances so you could teach yourself, kind of like back in the MySpace days where you were teaching yourself how to get better. You're like, I want to learn how to get better. I'm just going to...
Well, yeah, that was the thing. The pricing page had an error on it. And I was like, oh, I want to edit it. And it looked, to me, it looked like HTML code. But it wasn't. It was actually a different markup of what like we're hosted on. It was a, it's called the HubSpot markup. And so it's sort of like HTML's cousin. So I didn't fully know it. So that's how it broke. And then I, any other page besides the pricing page, me testing and playing with it would have not broken it. But because this page wasn't truly HTML, it broke it.
Was there ever a point in your life where you were on a certain track, probably like with the print, mm-hmm. you know, print graphic design, you wanted it to change that? So how did having that print graphic design life experience aid in your success today?
For one, I wanted to go out of college. I wanted to design for the music industry, but that didn't happen because the music industry is floundering right now, especially with design. But secondly, most recently here, I was hired as their designer. And, you know, I've gone through so many critiques. That's the one thing about being a designer is you get a really thick skin.
Now,
really
were you hired as a print designer at the time?
No, I was hired as a graphic designer that could code.
Okay.
The title was a graphic designer, but experience with like some JavaScript, some CSS can do basic HTML.
And at this point, you hadn't had any formal training in coding?
Not formal, no.
How did you learn how to code as much as you did at that point? Was it still just MySpace?
No. It was just downloading free templates off the internet and breaking them and figuring out how they, like, okay, so if I'm looking at this HTML file, that's what they call that CSS class, finding it in the CSS style sheet, changing it, learning that way, breaking a lot of things, just learning the hard way, and it paid off because I broke things that were not important.
What's the best lesson you've learned about yourself in pursuing your dream?
Don't make a plan. I know everybody says that, but really don't make a plan, because I thought I was going to be, you know, a designer. I assumed I'd always be a designer. But then more and more as I got through here, I realized I like the front end stuff. I like the day-to-day, you know, the marketing operations, figuring out what flows and how people interact with our website. But that's not really design. Like, I'm not making things look good. I'm not, you know, not really doing layout as much anymore. I mean, it helps because I'm used to the critique, so I also know what people like and don't like. And I'm okay with people saying they hate it, but I'm also getting things to work and be creative, and I have a lot more freedom now. So it's kind of nice.
And what's next for you?
I just found out today I'm doing more of the whole website. It was going to be mine, the front end, which is what I want. So I'm gonna be moving away from making business cards, making PowerPoints, to doing the website, doing layout, doing user experience and different little tests here and there, whether it's like putting in a script here, adding pop-ups to this, all that fun stuff.
And how can people stay in touch with you? People who want to learn more or can just connect further on a deeper level.
Yeah, I have a Twitter. It's at Hey It's Alyssa, HEYITSALLYSSA.
Thank you so much, Alyssa, for spending time with the Women in Tech show. This has been awesome, and I'm sure so many people are touched by your story and like can't wait to connect further.
Thanks for having me. It was cool.
It's cool, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Give me five.
Thank
awesome.
You.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech show is a WeAreTech.fm production.